Let's talk about power. Now, throughout history, the notion of power, it's been challenged, scrutinized, and of course, very, very highly revered. It's intrinsically linked to sex, money, politics, identity, and more broadly, I think, the state of the world. Now, if this sounds like I'm going a little wildly off topic, I mention it because power and all of its, adjacent qualities is the theme of this year's Sydney Writers Festival and what they're going to be examining. Now, for 1 week, Sydney plays host to top international Australian writers. They'll examine power through literature, stories, and, of course, public conversations. The festival's artistic director, Michaela Maguire, is with us. Good morning, Michaela.
Good morning.
Now, before we talk power exactly, tell us about the opening, because you've got three unbelievably impressive authors who will be talking on that topic.
Yeah, traditionally, until I started at the festival last year, the opening night address was given by one author, which seems like quite a big ask for one person to write a 45-minute address. And it's also a little bit of an ask on the audience as well to listen to one person for that
45
long.
45 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought it would be nice to mix things up. And it's also just such a great way to sort of give a taste test at the start of the festival for some authors that people might not have been aware of before. But I don't think this will be the case with Andre Aciman, who, of course, wrote Call Me By Your Name, which I think you'd be very hard-pressed to find somebody who doesn't know about that book.
Very true.
And that film. But he'll be joined by Min Jin Lee, who wrote a terrific historical novel called Pachinko, which was one of the New York Times top 10 books of last year and Roxane Gay's favourite book of the year. It's this incredible, sprawling...
Some high praise.
Yeah. Family drama set in Japan, a Korean family living under Japanese occupation. And they'll be joined by Alexis Okiowo, who's one of the best writers for The New Yorker, who's written an incredible long-form piece of narrative journalism called A Moonless, Starless Sky, which looks at everyday women and men fighting extremism in Africa.
Now, this is just ties in so well to that theme of power. Was it just the right time to have such a big theme?
Yeah, I mean, the way that I go about finding a theme for the festival is it doesn't make too much sense to sort of set the theme at the start and then go out issuing invitations, because a lot of people do actually say no to us, and it sort of limits you unnecessarily. So it was around October last year when I was at the halfway point of having most of our guests together, and just watching this sort of ever-expanding reckoning unfold as scandal after scandal was revealed and journalists took on this incredible role where they sort of became quasi-litigators. They were moving faster than the law courts were. And it just really, I think, reminded all of us about the power of journalism and the power of long-form investigative journalism in particular. So once I thought of theming an entire festival around power, I really couldn't look away from that.
It was a really good year for long film, wasn't it?
Mm.
Quite remarkably so. Look, how do you balance a mix of international Australian authors?
Well, our budget Delicately. Usually decides that for us, actually. So we have 60 international guests this year, which is about the same as they have been the past few years, and they'll be joined by 400 Australian authors.
That is massive.
Yeah, it's quite a lot of people
quite
to
a
keep
wrangle.
Tabs on.
Yeah. Look, also Family Day is always fun.
Yeah. So this year, things have changed up a little bit. Well, the entire festival has moved to Carriage Works. And we're ticketing Family Day at a low price of $5 per ticket, which we're hoping will do away with people having to line up for hours and hours and then not necessarily get in to see the authors that they're really excited about. But Jeff Kinney will be doing a town hall event the day before Family Day. He'll be very popular, I think. And yeah, we've got some terrific authors coming.
You really do. I like that kind of encouragement to get. You know, we talk a lot about getting kids reading, but I love the idea of encouraging these to be a family event, not just, oh, the kids go off and do that and I'll go and do this.
No. We very much want people to come and spend a Sunday together.
I think it's actually really, really lovely. How much do you think Carriage Works is going to sort of, you know, change the experience for people heading along?
I mean, it'll change the way that they get to the festival, but hopefully we're also making it a little bit easier for them. Carriage Works is quite a bit more accessible than Walsh Bay was. There's three train stations within walking distance. But hopefully once they're there and inside a theatre, they won't notice that they're not by the glistening waters of the harbour. Carriage Works is a world-class venue. We're very lucky to have it there. And I hope it'll also make the festival accessible and exciting for a group of people who wouldn't necessarily have made the trek to Walsh Bay before.
Yeah, look, it is an incredible space as well, just the size of it. And as you said, the accessibility, and there's quite a lot happening around it as well that Walsh Bay has that, but maybe a little bit of a trek for some people.
Yeah.
What would be your highlight? And that's a hard thing to say to an artistic festival director, but what would be your highlight?
It feels almost unethical to pick a highlight.
I know.
To equally barrack for all 460 of my children. I'm really excited about Still Processing, which is the New York Times culture podcast by Jenna Wortham and Wesley Morris. Wesley is a Pulitzer Prize-winning critic, and Jenna writes about technology and culture for the Times. And every week they get together and have a chat about popular culture and what's moving them to tears and to awe and to anger. They're incredibly lucid and insightful and intelligent. And yeah, listening to that podcast is the highlight of most of my weeks. So they're coming and doing a live show. And then they're being deployed elsewhere throughout the festival as well. Jenna is going to talk about the Me Too movement in a big town hall session with Tracy Spicer and Erin Carmen, who is the writer who broke the Charlie Rose scandal for the Washington Post. So that session is called This Is Not a Moment, It's a Movement. And Wesley will be joining the Power Gala, which similarly to opening night, eight or so guests will be interpreting Power and reading a short piece that they've prepared in advance. And he'll be joined by Australian filmmaker and director Warwick Thornton, Tanya Plibersek, Sally Rugg, Amina Tal-Sal from the Call Your Girlfriend podcast, and a few other. Oh, Marsha Gessen, of course, is doing that one as well, the award-winning Russian journalist. And that's just two events.
That is absolutely massive for just two events. It's a bit no holds barred. I'm very, very impressed.
Yeah.
Look, tickets are, as I understand, on sale now.
Yes.
SFW.org.au.
SWF.
Yeah. Look, we'll have a link up on 2SER.com, so you don't need to worry about that. April 30 to May 6th.
Yes.
And people should grab tickets ASAP at a rough guess.
Yeah, they are already flying out the door. A few sessions have already sold out. So if you want to come along, you should have a click around the website pretty soon.
Please do. And of course, we'll be giving some coverage as it gets up to it on 2SER. And all those details are up on 2SER.com in just a couple of minutes' time. Michaela Maguire, thank you very much for your time this morning.
No worries. Thank you.